Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
This is Hot Takes on a Plate, the show that explores the things that make you feel and how those feelings collide with food. I'm Rob Petrone, and today I'm feeling excited and nervous because I am going to be doing something that I've been wanting to do for a very long time, and I'm excited for the chance to do it, but nervous that it might not work out. I have always wanted to put food on menus. I think everybody who's into food has always wanted to have an item that's their creation on a restaurant menu. And it's something I always wanted to do with Restaurant Hunter. And I wanted, of course, I wanted it to be named after me because everybody has that little part of their ego they want scratched where they can see their name on a restaurant menu. And the powers that be did not want me to do that for reasons I won't get into here. I think it was mostly legal stuff. And so the closest we ever got to that with Restaurant Hunter was, I think after the 100th episode on Long Island, we were able to get some items on restaurant menus, three restaurants. And the restaurants came up with the ideas, if I'm not mistaken. And it was called the Restaurant Hunter special. And only one of those restaurants still, I think, has the item on the menu. I looked it up, actually. It's Cherry Valley Deli, which also has a location in Queens. But they changed the name of the sandwich from the Restaurant Hunter to the Verizon Fios, which is like probably the least sexy food item name ever. No offense to Verizon Fios, but just it kind of is not very sexy. So anyway, I'm going to take a second stab at this, and I'm going to do it with ice cream, and I'm going to do it with my friend Ellen Sledge. If you are a regular listener to this podcast, you may remember Ellen, one from the ice cream episode I did with her. I think it was either spring or early summer. Or you may remember her from most recently, the documentary series that we started doing, 86th, How a Global Pandemic Rocked the World's Culinary Capital, Episode 1. Ground Zero. If you have not heard it yet, you should go back and listen to it. It's fantastic. Ellen was fantastic. She is maybe the most articulate person I have ever met in the restaurant industry. I'm not just saying that. When she speaks, she always has something very thoughtful and eloquent to say. She was great in that documentary. And today she is here, unfortunately, not to speak, but to listen to me just say really stupid things about ice cream and to possibly tear them apart, because I told her, I'm going to pitch you my ice cream ideas and you are allowed to just destroy them. If they're not good, you don't have to take any of these ideas. You can take what you could do whatever you want with them. But the idea is for me to pitch you, for you to explain to people how hard it is to pitch. The reason I picked you, besides the fact that I know you and you're a friend, is that you're already kind of doing this already. You've already had a couple of media collaborations. You've even done some crowdsourcing with the people, your customers from Penny Lick Ice Cream. So Ellen, tell me a little bit about what you've already done.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me back. I also have always worried that I'm your most boring guest.
No, never.
So very excited to know that maybe that's not true. So we have been running a sort of special of sorts. We have been opening the doors to our little young, entirely too young in 2020 factory in Port Chester, New York, and inviting folks who are well known in the region to come and collaborate and have their own ice cream flavor for a month. The first time we did this, we tested this with Jeannie, the food editor of the Journal News, who has actually just recently announced her retirement from the Journal News. And the way I did it with her was I talked to her for about a half an hour on the phone, but we talk sometimes. She's a regular customer. And I got a sense of desserts she likes, desserts she doesn't like.
So you were kind of,
she loves.
It was a collaboration.
That one was a collaboration in that I sort of surprised her with the flavor. And then I said, you're coming here on this date and this time. And then I had the ingredients all laid out and I said, surprise, this is what we think your perfect flavor would be. And she loves it. And so that was our first time. And that was December of 2020. And it was meant to be 1 month. And it is our third best-selling flavor. And we cannot eliminate it. It is still
very nice.
It is still there. So although I did come up with the flavor, it was heavily based on interviews with her. And I allowed her to name it.
Ice cream journalism.
Yeah. There you go. And then I like interviewing people. And then we did it again with John Turiano of Westchester Magazine. And then we are doing it again. Currently, we're running like a big collaboration campaign with our customers. But the truth is, I've had an ice cream business for almost 8 years. And everywhere I go, somebody has something to say to me about it. My first Department of Health inspection here at my store in Hastings-on-Hudson, New York, was a 40-minute discussion of soft serve versus scooping hard ice cream. That was all the inspector wanted to know about. And when I went to get my first Moderna vaccine a few weeks ago, hosted by the Westchester County Department of Health at Westchester Community College, I knew half the people there. And because I had to stay longer, because I have allergic reactions to medication, so you have to be observed for a while, just lots of people coming up to me with their ideas for ice cream flavors. This is what I do. This is what I get. This is part of who I am.
What's the biggest mistake?
I'm usually very polite about it, just for the record.
Yes, you are. So what's the biggest mistake people make when they pitch a flavor? What do most people get wrong when they're coming up with ice cream flavors? Because it seems easy on the surface.
I think that if there's one thing across the board that people don't understand, is that a very delicate flavor will not necessarily come across in an ice cream. Also, ice creams have varieties to them in terms of butterfat. So here at Penny Lick Ice Cream Company, we're a peanut and tree nut and sesame free ice cream brand, but we make a super premium. That's a 16% butterfat base. The more butterfat that's in your ice cream, the stronger the flavor has to compete. So when people see really stylized photographs in like a Martha Stewart online magazine of a strawberry ice cream with strawberry chunks in it, that is just food styling purposes. If you put chunks of fresh strawberries in ice cream and you freeze it and you do all the things that you need to do to it, they will just taste like chunks of ice crystal because strawberries hold so much water. You actually have to cook down fruits. So I think that when people think about ice cream flavors.
I already got to cross one off already.
But you don't have to cross it off. There are solutions to all of these things. My point was that people don't realize how strong your flavor has to be to compete with butterfat and with cold. When you make an ice cream, you go through a few stages of it. First you pasteurize it and then you flavor it. So when you're flavoring it, it's still hot. Usually it's still hot. I mean, when we do it in our process at the factory, it's still hot. And so it will taste a certain way. When you cool it 24 hours to refrigerator temperature, that flavor will fade a little bit because it's colder. When you run it in an ice cream machine, whether that's a batch pasteurizer, which takes like one small batch out at a time, or a continuous flow model like a bigger factory would have, the ice cream comes out at 22 degrees, not fully frozen, but churned, and there's enough air added to it. You know, it's ready to go into a cooling freezer at 22 degrees, whatever you flavored it in. It was super. It tasted very strong when it was hot, a little cooler at refrigerator temperature. It tastes even softer. The flavor has softened even more at 22 degrees. And then you put it in a cooling cabinet at negative 20 degrees to harden for another 24 hours. And that kills some of the flavor too. So the number one thing that people don't think about is how hard it is to flavor an ice cream and keep that flavor consistent through the different stages of production, and to make sure that flavor, when you're scooping it in an 8-degree ice cream cabinet, is just as strong as it originally was when you were making the base.
So let me talk you through, before I get to my ideas, kind of my process. So The first thing I did was I just started thinking about things that I wanted in ice cream. Then I started thinking about things that are kind of personally attached to me. Because I think a lot of times with food, you want a good narrative, right? Especially if I'm going to personalize it, if it's going to be quote unquote my flavor, it's got to have some sort of narrative hook. And I did this. And then I also brainstormed with my oldest daughter, Claire. And we did this. And we came up with like so many great ideas. And then I did what any smart person does before a big presentation. I did a little extra sort of research on the company I was presenting to. And I had forgotten that you guys were nut free, and my list had to be thrown out the window.
I'm sorry.
I mean, I was just like, okay, this, because I mean, I had one. It was going to be the you know, basically I make these oatmeal cookies that I invented at my house called Almond Joyous cookies. They're like, it's like I use cocoa powder in there and Greek yogurt as a binder with chocolate chips and coconut and almonds. And I was going to do like a Greek yogurt, frozen yogurt riff on that. And
that sounds
like,
awesome.
Goodbye. I was going to pitch you like a pistachio flavor with like a cherry swirl. Cause I love pistachio and cherry. Nope.
Those gotta two throw flavors out. Are great together. Yeah. We became nut free the first day we opened the ice cream shop. I had nut flavors. I'm a big fan of nuts in general. I could eat peanut butter out of a jar all day long until my doctor says, you know, stop that. And the very first day that we opened our ice cream shop, we'd been in business for a couple of years. It was a big deal when we opened. There was a line almost two blocks long. And I had a bunch of teenagers scooping ice cream. And within the first hour, a teenager confused, even though everything was labeled, milk chocolate ice cream and Nutella ice cream. My children have food allergies, not to nuts. They have family members who do have food allergies to nuts. But I also know, as a mom with a kid with food allergies, I know that fear, that moment that your kid's face starts to expand.
Oh, yeah. No, it makes sense.
So I threw out all the nut flavors. And that was it. And it was, at the time, I was just thinking it was liability. But then what I realized was how many people were traveling from far.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were so proud.
It's a safe space.
That their kids could have ice cream somewhere. And that makes so many more people happy that couldn't access an ice cream shop before, that I've just run with it. And I go home and eat peanut butter from the jar. And then my doctor yells at me.
All right, so I'm going to start throwing these at you.
I love that.
I don't know where to start. I don't necessarily have a ranking on these.
In the middle, go for it.
All right, so let me start with, I'll give you the backstory in each one. All right, let me start with.
I love your backstories. Backstories are good. I like the narrative here.
Some of these have names, some don't. Okay. This one I'm calling Patron's Power Breakfast. So my pandemic breakfast every day without fail is Greek yogurt, sometimes vanilla, sometimes plain, berries, blueberries, blackberries get tossed in there, and granola. And so tying into my personal narrative, but also the fact that, you know, I'm watching what I eat now, an idea of maybe like a vanilla Greek frozen yogurt. So it's got a little tang to it with blackberries swirled in there, and then a granola where the base is oats, cinnamon, salt, brown sugar, and some pumpkin seeds. And that's Patron's Power Breakfast.
And actually, so that really sounds delicious. I would make, instead of throwing blackberries directly in there, and I am a big blackberry fanatic, I would make a blackberry swirl.
Yeah.
And you do that anyway when you're making ice cream. You shouldn't ever just put fresh ingredients in there because there's food safety concerns. You do have to cook fruit down to ensure that you are not introducing any bacteria that could make anybody sick. And so we do that. Blackberries are hard, however. Blackberries are heavily seasoned. That blackberries and blueberries are season dependent. They are season dependent. And when we get good ones, we make ice cream with them. And unless it is in season and we have good ones, we don't touch it because blackberries in March are expensive and taste like water. And blackberries in July are not nearly as expensive and taste like pure joy. So I would say that all of those things work well. Wait, list the ingredients again. What were the other things you were throwing in there?
So, well, it's like the berry swirl, like a vanilla Greek yogurt, frozen yogurt, and a hard yogurt, by the way, let's, you know,
yeah,
because you're doing pints. And then a granola where there's no nuts in the granola. It's oats, pumpkin seeds, and then you're seasoning with brown sugar, cinnamon, salt, and cardamom.
I love cardamom.
Me
have
too.
Have you ever had a good cardamom ice cream?
Well, I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Don't you worry. So it sounds like this one's a maybe so far. This is kind of like a maybe.
For me. It's a maybe. It's Power Breakfast.
All right.
You started strong. You definitely put more research into this than I thought.
It gets stronger. So the next one is a riff on one of my favorite desserts. So there is I'm going to give a shout out to a bakery / caterer by me called Poppies. Poppies, I don't go as often as I used to because, again, I'm trying to watch what I eat, but they were an obsession of mine because their pastries on the weekends were just, they do the best lemon poppy loaf I've ever had. This lemon poppy semolina loaf. Of course, you've got lemon covered. You already addressed that. We're not going down the lemon road as much as I'd like to. So they also do this cardamom pecan crumb cake that is just killer. Now, obviously, you're not doing pecan. So,
but you could still do a cardamom crumb cake.
Well, I was going to say a cardamom ice cream with crumb cake chunks in it.
So I like the way cake freezes in ice cream. I obviously denser things like quick breads and brownies freeze a little better in ice cream. Some cakes can be a little too light, but I think a good coffee cake could be dense enough to sustain a super premium ice cream and still like have that kind of wonderful texture to it.
Because cardamom plays so well off of salt and sugar, and to have the cardamom ice cream base, but then having that sugary sort of crumb topping kind of crushed in there, that's the winner.
Yeah, the thing about the crumb topping, as much as I love it, is I know it would, half of it would dissolve into the ice cream. Because some of it's butter, but some of it's granulated sugar, and it will just dissipate into nothing.
But you see, this is why I wanted to do this, because I wanted you to pick apart the flaws and all the brilliant ideas we all have. So, okay, so those are the two I'm starting with. They're kind of maybe-ish.
I think they're good. They're really strong maybes.
All right. Let me go with a wild card one now.
Okay.
This one I'm calling Shots of Patron. Now, okay. I've done my research on you. You've got some booze-flavored things on your menu.
Some of the booze-flavored ones we have stopped scooping at points because we put too much booze in them, and our teenage staff were just eating their way through it, and they were like buzzed by the end of shift.
No.
And also, this is Hastings. This is a small town. I know everybody.
Do you have to be 21 and over to get the booze flavored stuff?
No, because we were never making anything that was so illegal that it was so strong proof. But our rum raisin, which we will put in pints seasonally and only sporadically serve scoops of, Patrice, you've met her before. She makes the ice cream with me. She's an insanely talented chef. She is Antiguan and she likes really dark rums. And she would macerate the raisins the way you would for a fruitcake. So for a long damn time. And she would macerate them with muscovado sugar and dark Antiguan rum. And they'd be amazing. But if you make too many of those raisins, well, I mean, you're completely useless on shift. You're not leaving a single table. And then I got to send you home to your mom and dad. And so we
all right. Wow. So this changes the pitch a little bit.
It doesn't change the pitch because something interesting happened a lot of weird things happened during COVID 2020. And one of them was a regulation easing on alcohol and ice cream combined.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, New York State made it. You can start putting more alcohol in your ice cream.
All right, this is the wild card. Shots of Patron. Okay. It's a tequila infused key lime pie froyo with graham cracker crust.
Tequila key lime pie. Okay, so I made a key lime a long time ago, and I regret that I never brought it back to the menu. But tequila.
Well, I mean, think about it, right? Like when you do a shot of tequila, what's the thing that you do? You grab a lime wedge and you suck on it. Just a little tequila infused key lime pie froyo with graham cracker crust.
The graham cracker crust gets mushy really quick. So what I did for the key lime pie one that I made years ago and I loved it, I completely forgot I ever made it. God, was we made a ginger cookie. And crushed it, threw it in. And so it was a little chunkier and it froze better and it didn't get too soggy. And because if you've got graham cracker crust, it's fine and it just absorbs. And then the tequila.
Too out there? Too out there?
No. And it's honestly, it's what everybody needs. Don't you think? Last year, our little store on Warburton Avenue in Hastings-on-Hudson, New York, was this time last year, one of two businesses opened. The other one was the liquor store, and we both have lines. And one person came in one day and said, as long as you guys in the liquor store are open, we're going to get through this.
Liquor, booze, and pizza.
Yeah. That's basically all anybody needed.
Or I should say liquor, ice cream, and pizza.
Cream and pizza, yeah. I think that tequila key lime is a great idea. Key lime is one of those things I'm really
This sounds like it might be on the leaderboard here. Pole position.
I'm rooting for it. So, and we're talking, let's just be clear, we're not even talking an ice cream base here. We're talking a yogurt base.
Which you've never done, have you?
No. I mean, I know how to do it, but I haven't done it because, you know, I don't know. I've never been a super huge yogurt fan. We have free Wi-Fi at the shop, and the original password was Froyo sucks, and somebody got mad, so I changed it.
Ice cream is my favorite thing, in the world, and it's the thing that I miss the most right now because I'm trying not to eat that way.
But there are healthier ways to do it.
Okay, well then we can do that. Let's.
But we can do. But a yogurt base might be better for key lime because the yogurt has a natural tartness.
Yes,
to it.
Exactly.
And then key lime can just brighten that up. I love key lime in general. It just brightens everything. And it's just
All right. You're feeling it.
It needs to be used in more places than Florida. It's a shame that Florida.
The tequila is a twist. All right. I'm gonna give you two more booze flavors.
Good. Go for it. All right. I need to drink.
They're both sorbets.
Okay.
A mimosa sorbet.
I have made it.
Ah.
I'm going to shoot it down because that is an expensive cost of goods sold.
Okay. Okay, fair.
It's delicious. I haven't done it in 2 years, but I used to do it just for the month of December, some months of December and January. But even if you're using Prosecco, right, it can get an orange juice, the oranges, yeah. It can actually be more expensive than
a lost leader. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's the kind of thing that you still love.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about taking it and doing like a brunch flavor where you throw in maybe some Belgian waffle chunks, but then I'm like, no, just mimosa sorbet is fine. All right, you're going to shoot down my next one then, because my next one's not going to be cheap to make either, but it would really, really make sense as a sorbet if you're going to go boozy. A Negroni sorbet.
Yeah, so you are talking an expensive cost of goods sold, but I would eat it. I never thought twice about it. The catch is, again, with Negroni and with mimosa, the alcohol content, even though that is the more expensive of the ingredients, it has to be light or it doesn't freeze. So you can only put so much alcohol into a sorbet. You can only put so much alcohol into an ice cream where you just have soup.
But Negroni has that sweet element, so you can kind of fudge it a little and give it, you know.
Yeah. You would want something that just had just a hint or a slight hit of alcohol that was more the rest of the elements. I mean, that's the way you have to do it. I mean, plenty of people who make sorbet, and if they make sorbet even for their restaurants, very often will add a splash of some sort of alcohol just to smooth it out and to make sure it's always scoopable and it doesn't get too icy. If your sugar ratio wrong to your fruit. But yes, like a boozy sorbets can get very expensive. Citrus at the wrong time of year can get very expensive. I made a one-off for Borough 6, a specialty blood orange sorbet. And he was like, can we get more of that? And I said, no, I can't afford you anymore. And I was like, it's not blood orange season and I can get blood orange puree for the cost of, I don't know, one of my children. So you're just going to have to choose a less expensive flavor to buy wholesale.
That's funny.
So these things are doable. They're a little more complicated. They don't have quite the same shelf life an ice cream has. Mm. And even then, an ice cream really, you know, when you go to a supermarket, there's no shelf life for your ice creams, but you really shouldn't have them more than 6 to 8 weeks. And if you have a pint of ice cream for more than 8 weeks, something's wrong with you anyway.
Yeah. Right.
All right. So, with the ice cream.
Yeah, exactly. So, okay, here's my last one.
Go for it.
This is the one that I think I was the most excited about because it's capitalizing on a trend. Now, we've all seen this winter the rise of the hot cocoa bomb.
Oh, yeah.
What about a hot takes on a plate hot cocoa bomb? I don't know. This one is actually a combination. I don't know if you can even do this, but so the idea is it's basically like you're trying to get like a hot cocoa base, but it's not hot, of course. It's a cocoa base. But how to get it to sort of taste like that hot chocolate, hot cocoa. So I was thinking about a cocoa sorbet swirled with marshmallow froyo, marshmallow chunks, and dark chocolate bark.
A cocoa sorbet.
Swirled with a marshmallow froyo. So the marshmallow froyo adds that creamy sweet note to the cocoa sorbet, which is going to be the rich note, but also the sorbet, you're getting that texture sort of contrast. Then
so
you're throwing in
texture contrast, but I think it's the kind of thing that fresh out of the machines, it works, but I'd have to test to see if frozen hard for 24 hours, if that texture still works, or if you just added a bunch of water to a yogurt ice cream.
Well, the other thing you could do, obviously, is you could just do a quote-unquote hot chocolate ice cream or hot chocolate yogurt or whatever you want to do and then throw in your marshmallow chunks and dark chocolate bark. But I don't know if that's going to scream hot cocoa bomb or not.
Have you ever been to Serendipity? I mean, you're a New York City dweller. Surely you've had their frozen hot chocolate.
I've had not theirs, but I've had another place that does that. Yes. But that's not ice cream, right?
No, it's not. It's not ice cream at all. It's not even under the category of sorbet. It's kind of more like they've used a slushy machine to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it made me think that, you know, it's obviously possible to make plenty of things taste like hot cocoa. Is the chocolate bark just pieces of chocolate?
Yeah. Like,
how are you
like,
envisioning the chocolate bark?
I'm envisioning like, you know, like picture a hot cocoa bomb, you know, that mm-hmm. circular sphere, and then just like taking a mallet to it. And there's just like chunks, you know, there's just shattered chunks of dark chocolate. Yeah.
I love this idea. I have to figure out the technical of it because it's two different products swirled. That's the only thing.
Well, what if it wasn't two products swirled? What if it was a...
It sounds like, more interesting when it's two products swirled.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't give it to me and then take it back.
Well, okay, so it's just for people who are listening, this is being recorded in advance, a good amount in advance of this airing. And the reason being is that basically, obviously, Ellen needs lead time if she likes any of these ideas to test it. But the idea is when you listen to this, we want to be able to tell you, go get it now. Mm-hmm. So basically, at the end of this episode, if she decides to go with any of these, we're going to say, it's out, everybody. Penny Lick Ice Cream. Here's how you can get it. So this is the tricky part now. Ellen's wheels are churning. She's saying, how can I promise this to people?
Yeah. No. And the answer is I promise things every day to people and let them down. But I think.
So which one's the best idea?
You had so many really good ones. I mean, there's four that I properly want to explore, but if I'm being honest, I'm a little in love with the key lime.
Okay. Wow.
But is the key lime one something Claire would appreciate? What were Claire's opinions? Because let's be honest, my target demographic is not you, Rob.
Well, tequila infused key lime pie froyo with
probably
a graham cracker crust.
Hers.
That's the adults. That's you're cutting out the kids. Yeah.
Yes. Where was the kid on this one? She was in the frozen hot cocoa bomb.
Oh, totally.
Then I have
totally.
To make the frozen hot cocoa bomb.
There you go. I mean, that's the one that I liked just from a concept because it's such a trendy thing and people are going to have a curiosity about it. But I also know it's probably the hardest one to stick the landing on. But I trust you, of all people, to stick the landing because you're really good at this.
Well, I trust the people that I will pay to help me do this. I'm going to make that one work. That's the one I'm going to go with.
So we have a deal.
We have a deal.
Oh my gosh, we're making it. We're making the hot cocoa bomb. I got one on the menu, is what you're saying.
You've got one on the menu. It's your dream come true, Rob.
And what
also,
are we naming it?
If you want to help out, you know, we pay $15 an hour plus tips. so the catch is that you have to name it.
Okay.
You have to choose the final name.
Is this going to be too wordy to say, this is what I wanted it to be branded after the show. Cause I want people to understand that connection. If they heard it here, this is the flavor. The problem is my show has, and this was all my fault. I'm the one who named it. I gave it a long, stupid name.
It's a long name.
So hot takes on a plate's hot cocoa bomb. I mean, it's got the hot and the hot. Is that the best we can do? Hot takes on a plate's hot cocoa bomb.
We have to find a way to truncate it. I don't know if we're using an acronym or what. I mean, we could just make everybody say it.
Because here's the thing.
Sounds delicious and people should have to work for it.
I mean, the thing is, it's got to say hot cocoa bomb because that's like the selling point. It has to say hot cocoa bomb. So,
So
hot cocoa bomb on a plate. No, that doesn't work. I think.
Are we going to say hot though? Because it's not hot. And then people can be like, why isn't this hot? And then I'm going to say you're in an ice cream store. That's when people say, how come you don't have anything healthy here?
So you're calling it a frozen cocoa bomb.
Yeah, I mean, we have to be kind of accurate.
Yeah, frozen cocoa bomb.
You'll be surprised how many things people will take literally.
Frozen cocoa bomb, this is really bad. This is really bad entertainment right now. Listening to my wheels spin as I try to come up with a name on the fly.
Though, don't you?
This is where my preparation failed me. Yeah,
this
is where my preparation failed me because here I am. I got the name, the hot takes on a plate, hot cocoa bomb. You point out the fact that it's not hot. And you're right, because most people would understand it's supposed to simulate a hot cocoa bomb, but there are really dumb people who will say, this is not hot, I ordered hot cocoa bomb. So yeah, that's a problem.
You'd be surprised how very, very, very literal customers will take things.
All right. Well, so, what about just like hot takes on a plate's frozen cocoa bomb?
Perfect.
Okay.
It is long. Hey, well, it sounds delicious. I do strongly feel that people should have to work for it.
So you know, and there can be a little QR code where they scan it and they go straight to the podcast episode. There you go. Boom.
Yes,
synergy.
We'll put a QR.
Cause I'm sure like three people will scan it. Three, maybe, maybe. Yeah. You're laughing because it's true.
I'm positive you have at least 10 listeners.
No, oh, okay. You went that way. I meant more like just the technology aspect of it. Like, here's a QR code.
No, what am I supposed people to do use with this? QR codes.
Okay.
We made a big sign and put it outside.
Okay, then I'll get 11 listeners.
They're waiting
great.
Online and they can't see the menu, so they use the QR code.
Okay, well then I'll get 11 listeners. I mean, I gave you an ice cream flavor. It's going to be a bestseller. I get
it's
something out of it.
Seller.
I keep calling it ice cream flavor. It's actually sorbet and froyo swirled. What the heck? Wow. Who does that?
You know what? I'm actually excited about it. So the thing about chocolate sorbets is it's hard to get them right and in a soft, pliable, scoopable manner. But I think I have a way to do this one.
But it's cocoa sorbet.
Okay. Yeah, it's cocoa sorbet. You're right. It's very different. The chocolate sorbet that we have would be quite different than that.
Yeah. Cocoa sorbet swirled with marshmallow froyo.
Yes.
Marshmallow chunks and dark chocolate bark.
It's all doable.
Oh,
doable and solvable.
Oh, boy.
And it
oh,
sounds
boy.
Good.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And Claire will approve.
Yes, very much. And so will Amelia. Both okay. My girls will approve. Where can people get this besides going to Hastings on Hudson and going to your shop? It's on Warburton Avenue, correct?
Yes, in Hastings on Hudson, correct.
Yeah.
But Penny Lick Ice Cream actually delivers locally to Westchester and Fairfield counties, and we're hoping to start shipping in about a month. But right now, local delivery, and you can just buy it online.
There you go. What's the website?
PennyLickIceCream.com.
There you go. Okay. Well, Ellen, thank you so much. And before I let you go, I know a lot of people heard you on the documentary podcast episode of 86 that we did on Ground Zero and your initial, you know, suspecting that you had COVID and you were very open and honest about that experience. I guess just for people, you know, who are listening to that, who are wondering, you know, how are you doing? How is everyone doing?
It's a year later.
I know.
So Penny Lick is still standing. The retail side of our business, actually, even though it was down over the previous year, it wasn't down a lot. And with a lot of hard work and maybe a little bit of luck, we managed to do well enough to eke out the world's tiniest profit. The retail side's fine. And it's going to be, events are coming back, venues are coming back. I wouldn't call 2021 a return to normalcy in any real way. We still have logistics issues. We still have supply issues. There's actually currently, and we're talking at the end of March 2021, a nationwide cream shortage. That
wow.
is affecting all ice cream manufacturers across the board. So there are some dairy supply problems in the United States. And some of it is holdover COVID problems. So it's going to be a little while before things return to normal. I think that 2022 will be great. But we got through 2020 and we're still standing in 2021. And I'm very proud and grateful for that because I have so many friends whose businesses didn't make it. We have friends who physically didn't make it.
Mm.
We have family members who didn't make it. I try every day to just think about the positives and walk forward, right? You just get up and you fight the fight of that day. Every once in a while, though, late at night, if you can't sleep, the last 12 months catch up to you in a terrible rush, and you just feel like for a moment you can't even catch your breath. I will get over that. My business is still standing. I have wonderful, supportive customers, a really great community of other supportive business owners. I feel like we all got through it together as a team.
Well, that's great to hear. And we're going to do another installment of 86th, how a global pandemic rocked the world's culinary capital 2 weeks from when this airs. 2 weeks from when this airs, April 21st. If you are not already subscribed to Hot Takes on a Plate, please do so so you never miss an episode. Ellen, thank you so much. And make sure to get the Hot Takes on a Plate frozen cocoa bomb from Penny Lick Ice Cream. You can get it right now. Oh my gosh, we're doing things, even though it hasn't been made yet. It's like this futuristic time machine, this podcast recording. Ellen, thank you so much, as always.
I always like seeing you. Thank you, Rob. This was fun.
Hot Takes on a Plate is part of the Believe Podcast Network. Check them out at BLEAV.com. You can follow me on social media at Rob Patron TV on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. For the rest of the crew, why am I saying the rest of the crew? I no longer host Restaurant Hunter. That's so ridiculous. I just said the rest of the crew, everybody. It's just me. Anyway, I'm literally reverting back to the way I used to end Restaurant Hunter, but it's not. It's Hot Takes on a Plate. Ciao, goodbye, whatever. I'm done.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.